B-Pod Studios.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Here is one good offensive play from Week 11's Patriots-Eagles game.
Edelman motions into the basket, then motions out to the right. Great throws towards the lateral. Edelman's looking to throw, under pressure, to the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown!
Oh, razzle-dazzle, baby!
Here are three good defensive plays that made Scott Zolak make weird noises with his mouth.
Wentz takes the snap. Patriots send an extra rusher. Picked up before Roberts gets to the quarterback. And a second defender piles on. Patriots with a sack inside the 15.
Weird noises,
To the quarterback. Wentz takes the snap against a four-man rush with a twist up front. He pumps and he spins with the ball. Not pushed by Shelton. Fumble on the turf. Patriots try to recover. They do. Lawrence Guy. Sanders to the left and punt. Patriots are going to send a blitz. Wentz off the back foot. Throws to the end zone for Aguilar. He's open. Oh, back the end zone. Can't hold on.
And that about does it.
You end the game in Philadelphia.
Yeah! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Later this hour, we have tickets to see
Lil Bancalkes.
I was excited to find out that, because originally they, when they added new dates, it was just going to be in New Hampshire. And then I saw that they're coming back in September to the Xfinity Center, which is essentially New Hampshire.
Did you see that the Kulick brothers are in a feud?
Is that the drummer?
Bruce Kulick?
Yeah, which member of KISS was he? Like, he was there for like
Tommy Thayer. I'm sorry.
So, well, Tommy Thayer's the guitarist
Tommy
now.
Tommy Thayer and his brother are in a war because they're selling merchandise that the other Thayer says he's not getting a piece of. I was out to the dinner with a couple, and then the guy was saying he didn't like KISS, so I had to go on a 20-minute diatribe about how great KISS was. And I think I settled my statement when I went ladies' room on him. Or room service.
Room service is one of the all-time worst great songs.
I take the pleasure with the pain. I don't know!
So there's a lot to like about yesterday's game, believe it or not. Despite Tom Brady going out and being as moody as it gets and Captain Goth Kid, the fact that the defense was able to bounce back like that, you wanted to make sure, and Eagles have a good offense, that they were, I mean, after that first 90-something yard drive, they just stuck it to him. And as
they
you
were
said,
short some skill position players.
They were. But
Patrick Chung's a huge loss for the team.
Yeah, and then you, and that's right, Patrick Chung was
the
out as well.
The kid Brooks made some nice plays. He had that bad one, which I didn't know, think was an illegal hit, by the way, at the end of the game. But he actually played a nice game.
Yeah. So, I mean, he filled in okay. But, I mean, so the Eagles have a good offense. And after that horrible drive they were able to let up, they ended up stopping him and holding him to only 10 points.
I think it was rust. Honestly, I think it was they had a week off. I just think it was rust.
No, you think offensively?
No, defensively.
No, defensively. Oh, you mean that first drive. Yeah. Because they looked great after
that.
It was
a terrible pass interference call.
Pass interference.
Yeah. So, but after that, so there's a lot to like about that. Your defense, your elite defense is back, and they did it against a good offense. However, the offense for the Patriots all season long has kind of been, you know, not what you wanted it to be, but if you look statistically, they've been pretty good. Like certain games where, once again, it feels like they're not delivering to the standard that you remember them being or you think that they should be, they end up pulling it off in the end. However, yesterday was one of those games where Brady couldn't get any kind of rhythm going. And I know that they had a couple situations where Jacoby Myers was running a wrong route, and of course the offensive line is still in shambles. Isaiah Wynn is going to be coming back next week. Hopefully that helps. But he's obviously not very happy. But this has been a trend all season long. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at just the sound clips we have. Tom Brady's entire press conference was a minute and 47 seconds long in its entirety. And his answers, I'm looking at these clips here, 3-second answer, 4-second answer, 3-second answer. Here, I'll just play you one random one right here. This is right here.
Yeah, we just played for 3 hours, so I think everyone's a little tired.
That was one of his answers. How about, how does the offense look to you?
up and down. That's what it looks like to me. So, yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
Yep. Okay. Then there was that and struggles in the red zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who does not seem very happy. Yet on the other end of things, you've got Bill Belichick on a game like yesterday as happy as he can be. And this has been a trend on games where Tom Brady has struggled, but the defense has stepped up. We saw it the Bills game. There was another game this season. I'm trying to find the clips of it right now. He just gets out there and starts joking. Here's Belichick.
Yeah, good read on the play. You know, check the crosser, was open. You know, we had another option on the play, but you know, made a good decision. You know, keeps his quarterback rating up there pretty high. I'm sure we'll have to ice his shoulder down this week and massage it and everything else. But that was a great.
He's even busting balls on Lane Johnson afterwards. Like, even like giving the other side a little bit of a rest.
Looked like I had a lot of fun out there today and I played with a lot of good energy.
I mean, this is something that I think Bill Belichick loves it.
Oh, yeah.
When his defense delivers. And it does kind of seem like it's just an added little extra thing that might piss Tom Brady off.
Oh, sure.
But
there's no question about it.
He
knows Brady's not playing well. He sees the writing on the wall, and he's enjoying the hell out of, you know, like old school scrappy football, rock fights.
It's just another thing on the list that continues to add up that makes me believe that, I mean, more now than ever, that he could be gone at the end of the season.
So, and now, but at this point, I don't even know how much of a loss that is.
It's a huge loss. I mean, think about it. You're going from Tom Brady to Trevor Siemian.
You could bring someone else in.
Even if you go Tom Brady to Philip Rivers, it's a drop.
Yeah. It's all a drop.
No, it might be a drop, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I think that they could win with Philip Rivers.
It's the end of the world.
I think that Brady only it's the circle of trust. He only likes to throw to people that he can trust, and when that happens, they're on fire.
But they've always won. Even when, you go to Michael Hurley, I mean, they've shown that he, you know, favored Welker, Edelman. One year there was Moss, and he always has favored guys. And by the way, don't give me that he doesn't have any talent. He has three first-round picks out there with him.
He has talent. He doesn't have a tight end. He absolutely doesn't.
Well, there's a lot of teams.
The left tackle is brutal. The only thing I can really say, this isn't my take. I was talking with Arcan over the weekend about this, but
because everyone knows what Arcan had to say.
No, I just say this really is similar to. So like Kyrie Irving last year. You know, Kyrie Irving was always blaming everybody else on the team for the team sucking.
Brady has not blamed anybody. He has not blamed anybody.
I won't go. All right.
So he's just been very dour and hasn't been over the top to praise anybody.
It's just weird when you're in your contract year, things just happen to be said like that.
Well, think about it, because the evidence keeps piling up that he could be moving on. Number one, of course, there's the selling of his house. There's leaving little notes on Antonio Brown's Instagram, despite Antonio blowing up Robert Kraft about getting in trouble for going to the spa. There's the Tom Brady Netflix film where he came out of a spa, even though people want to dismiss that. Okay, whatever, but that's another thing you could add. The fact that for the first time, he's playing without a guarantee to be here next year, and then just what you're seeing visually after these games, and from the words he's saying, the most joyless I've seen him, especially during a winning season.
And the way he's playing.
They have one loss, and like every time he gets up there, I mean, he seems just like he's not having any fun at all.
It's got to be tough. I mean, you've had this set of skills and they're starting to erode. Jake, go ahead. Jake.
Hey, guys. I can't get over the fact that you think this was a good win for the defense. You came off a bye, which normally they kill everyone off a bye. You came off a bye, beat an Eagles team, which is horrible. And up to the point at the end of the day where Captain drops Aguilar, who should have made a catch to send it into overtime, Wentz, who's horrible, and they had their two best skill position players out, and you guys are like, oh, the defense is back. What are you out of your mind?
So you think the Eagles' offense is horrible?
I think the Eagles' offense
All right,
is horrible.
Let me give you how many points they've scored this season, okay? 32 points game one. That was against the Redskins, that being said. 20 points against the Falcons. They scored 24 points next one. Okay, 34 points against the Packers. 31 points against the Jets. 38 points against... Okay, good. I can continue then. They did score 10 against the Cowboys. Then they scored 31 against the Bills. That is a tough defense. On top of that, they scored 22 against the Bears. That is a tough defense. So they have been... I mean, the average has got to be in the mid-20s or high-20s, and they held him to 10. Matter of fact, that's the least amount of points the Eagles have scored all season long.
With no skill position players.
Carson Wentz isn't a good quarterback is what you're telling me.
No, they were missing skill position players. I mean, they were.
He's middle of the pack, and I think he's maybe the new Red Rifle. Like everybody talks about him like he's this great next worldy quarterback. He has nobody around, and they had their two best skill position players out, and you barely beat them. Barely beat them.
But the defense held him to 10 points.
I think it's a good win. On an offense that should have scored three. Like, the captain drops Aguilar out there, their best wide receiver. This is crazy. Their offensive schemes are horrible. They took Ertz off the field when they had, like, arguably the most important drive of the game.
Yep.
I just don't understand why you consider this a good defensive stop. It's not.
The defense gave up 10 points in an NFL game. Like, they shut them out in the second half. They scored 17 unanswered points to win the game. Like, granted, the offense sucked. And granted, you could say whatever you want. Jordan Howard, Alshon Jeffrey not in the game. Like, the Eagles went 3 of 13 on third down. You got to give the Patriots defense credit. They stopped them twice to tie the game late. Like, they did what they had to do to win the game. We're not applauding them that, oh, it was a great win. The fact that the offense sucked, you got to give credit to the defense and special teams.
Yeah, based on the fact that the Patriots won, and they're so poor offensively.
Yeah, this is a day you can kill the offense all you want. You can't kill the defense.
No, well,
they did their job yesterday.
You can't kill the defense. The issue was that the Philadelphia is like a good offense.
What, do you want them to shut them out?
But I agree with you. It's not, I mean, the offense was poor, as it will be probably for the rest of the season. I like how Isaiah Wynn's going to come in and all of a sudden they're going to go crazy.
He's better than Newhouse.
He's much better than Newhouse.
And by the way, despite all of this, the Patriots have the third highest point scored this season on average.
Yeah, well,
it's one of those things that...
Erase the first seven games.
The eye test says that it's garbage, but the numbers say otherwise.
I don't...
Which is dangerous. Fred, I agree, it's dangerous.
The first seven games were a joke.
It was the preseason. If they could run the ball a lick, a first round pick last year can only get 3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
He can't catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like it is.
They don't even bother throwing him the ball. What did he have, his third reception in the first half of the year? All right. We'll be back. We'll have Jeffrey Howe from the Athletic over there. All right. We will have him.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
White to the right of Brady, off his hip. Edelman motions into the backfield, and then motions out to the right. Brady throws it to him, it's a lateral. Edelman's looking to throw, under pressure, to the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Oh, razzle dazzle, baby.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff Howe, are you in Philadelphia, or have you returned home?
Nope, still in Philly.
All right. Well, that's you can enjoy. You know what they have over there? Cheesesteaks.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And if you listen to Boys to Men, they say all the Geno's steaks you can eat, and a lot of people not a fan of Geno's. So you know,
no, I was over in the Pat's Geno's neighborhood a couple nights ago, and the locals here not a fan of Geno's at all. So I went to Pat's.
Yeah, they go Pat's on the people. And speaking of the Pat's,
that is a transition.
You see,
we're
playing the Brady audio, awful glum after the game. What is your take on, and you would agree with that, he was glum after the game, correct?
Certainly.
Okay, why, in your opinion?
Well, I think sub 50% in the red zone once again. The offense had six straight scoreless possessions to close the game. Three of those were three and outs. Another one was four plays and a punt. They had a chance to wipe away the rest of the clock with their last possession, and you know, ran three times and had to punt it. So it's really just compounding the issues that have plagued them for much of the season. Not a consistent running game. Too many three and outs. I think when the game matters, when you have a chance to really take control of it and not scoring touchdowns in the red zone, with one exception being a trick play that you obviously can't always rely upon. So I think that was – it's probably just the same thing. You know, Brady keeps looking at the same types of results that aren't getting a whole lot better. And, you know, he's working with a lot of guys who are completely new to the offense. I mean, Mohamed Sanu looks great, but he's still only been here less than a month, so there are probably still a few issues there. When Dorsett went down with a concussion and Sanu was limited in the fourth quarter, you know, Brady was taking important possessions with, you know, there was that one in particular when they were backed up to their own end zone, when you had N'Keal Harry in his NFL debut and Jacoby Myers as two of the three wide receivers on the field. And Matt LaCosse at one point was the only tight end on the field during one of those packages. So I think it's got to be frustrating for him to continuously work in some of these newer pieces and to not get the results as quickly as he wants them.
Okay, so how much of this do you put on Brady himself? Because I know that the offensive line is injured and they're going to get Isaiah Wynn back next week. And then you've got some of these new players. But from what you're seeing, is – like, what percentage do you put on Brady this year with the, I guess, the lack of cohesion with the offense?
I mean, some of it, you can't completely rule that out, and he didn't have his best night. There were some throws, especially to a couple running backs in the flat, that were kind of shanked, and you wonder what was going on there. And he's not as comfortable in the pocket when there's pressure. I wonder if some of that is, you know, a lack of chemistry with guys like Marshall Newhouse, or, you know, backup offensive linemen at times, and not knowing necessarily how the pocket is going to break down and how he can maneuver about it, or not being able to fully trust the guys that he's throwing to at the three skill positions and how they're going to break off their routes when the play does extend. And obviously when pressure is getting in his face, he's not as accurate as he's been. So I think all of that is part of the problem there.
All right, because I get a little frustrated when people say he doesn't have weapons. I mean, he's three first-round picks. He's got Edelman, and he's got a cast of running backs that have proven to be successful. If you had to rank him now in the pantheon of NFL quarterbacks, generally, where would you put him?
That's a good question. I mean, he's not... You know, he's not going to win the MVP this year, but that doesn't mean he's not having a really solid year. And his numbers are still on pace to be one of the seven or eight best seasons of his career as a 42-year-old with all of these things that are, you know, being discussed here. So it's not like he's having a bad season at all. And, I mean, it's kind of crazy because the defense has been so good that it's like, well, if you take Brady off the team, you know, I guess you kind of, if you're judging the MVP, you say, well, what would the team look like without that player? And it's hard to say what the Patriots would look like without Brady because the defense has been so dominant in all nine of their wins that it's so it's kind of a weird thing. But, I mean, if the defense wasn't as good, I mean, Brady would still be having a heck of a season. It's just I think all of that is magnified, or all of the offensive struggles are magnified, strangely, because the defense has been so good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt. And it was good to see them bounce back last night as well. But one thing that I wanted to ask you about was, this was kind of strange because I was listening to the first part of the broadcast on our station, and when Brady took the field, you know, it on the radio, it sounded like it was deafening, and all of a sudden, the sound of the crowd just abruptly jumped to a higher level, and Scott Zolak made the claim that he believed they were pumping in crowd noise to the field yesterday. Did you notice that at all?
I can't say I did, but I mean, I was in the booth last night before the game for the pregame show, and they have the windows open, and when we're in the press box, it's thicker glass, and it's really hard to get a feel for the crowd noise. So I really can't speak to that.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, we played the broadcast itself. And just on the broadcast, it sounded like a little bit of a jump, and it was definitely noticeable.
Yeah, don't go on the record if you don't know. Jeff Howe, Isaiah Wynn coming back. People are acting like this is the end all be all.
It's just better than what they got.
No,
I can tell.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. That goes without saying. But people, I mean, in the broadcast last night and everything, Just how important is this, and how much is this going to help the offense?
Well, it's huge if he can stay healthy, and the kid can play. I mean, he's really, really good, and the problem is we haven't seen much of him. He comes out of Georgia with a torn shoulder labrum, had the surgery there that delayed the start of his rookie season. He finally makes his preseason debut as a rookie, tears his Achilles, 9 snaps into that game, misses his entire rookie season, comes back later into the, doesn't start at left tackle until about 2 or 3 weeks into training camp this past summer, gets out there, looks really good, has a really solid regular season debut, and then injures the foot, on the first series of that Miami game in week 2, tries to play 1 snap in the second series, and then boom, he's back on IR. So a guy who every time he's on the field, whether it's practice, preseason, or a short time in the regular season, has absolutely looked like a first-round pick. And quite frankly, if he came out of Georgia as a healthy left tackle, he'd certainly be a top 10 pick. He might even be a top 5 type of pick. Might have been the best offensive lineman talent-wise in the 2018 draft, and I'm confident in that. It's just he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he's had 2 major injuries and then a third that has wiped away half of his second season. So it's just been a tough stretch for him injury-wise, but if he can stay healthy, he will certainly be a massive upgrade at left tackle.
Hey, Jeff, just looking ahead to the Cowboys next week. They have a great offensive line. Their defensive line is pretty good as well. Just your take on the matchup between the Cowboys and Patriots next week.
Well, if Jason Garrett and the offensive game plan can stay consistently enough or dedicated enough to the run game, that's a team that could give the Patriots some problems. The problem is, Jason Garrett sometimes couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag, and that has hindered them and their success over the years. So it's a really good matchup because, the 2 facets that you mentioned, what are the 2 ways that the Patriots have had some issues this season? Well, sometimes it's been with their run defense when offenses have stayed dedicated to the ground game. So we'll see if they can do that, which they should. I mean, it should be a no-brainer when you have Ezekiel Elliott, just keep handing him the ball. But again, sometimes coaching comes into play there. And then they can get after the quarterback. So if the Patriots can't stay on schedule, if they can't have success on early downs or run the ball successfully in their own right, then you're going to start allowing some of their great pass rushers to tee off on Brady, and that's when they've had some of their issues this year. So certainly a couple factors are going to help the Cowboys in this game. We'll just see if they can prevent themselves from getting out of their own way.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic. We always appreciate the time, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Rich, are you ready for the biggest prize we've ever given away?
It is a mammoth prize.
It's an exciting thing. So we'll take caller number 2, 617-779-0985. We have KISS tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets to see Ben. Kings and Satan service.
I always thought it was Knights and Satan service.
Well, whatever you spin it, they're satanic, which is right up my alley. 617. I'm just going to give them on the request line. Or whatever the hell we call this.
No, we have to do the contest line, yeah.
It's on the call line. 617-779-0985. Oh, yeah! We're going to play a game to give away KISS tickets because they're so valuable. You can't just give them away to some jabroni caller. And if you don't get them right, then 2 pairs go tomorrow. If you don't get this right, I'm kicking you out. If by the end of the week, if we have 5 pairs, I'm taking them all.
Can you know nothing about KISS and win this game?
I find it very... I mean, that's a moot point. I mean, who doesn't know anything about KISS?
That's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows about KISS. All right, so we will have that. Caller number 2. You will have to face me in a battle of KISS wits. I've opened an encyclopedia of KISS and have decided these things. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
non-thinking pricks don't even give this a chance. All right, now's your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Kiss on their end of the round tour. It's the last time for sure. They're coming to this area. It's coming to the Xfinity Center on September 4th, 2020.
They played their last show ever at the TD Garden in February, I think. Was that what it was? Like, it was.
Is this really September 4th, 2020?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they announced
an event.
They took they added a ton of new shows. And I think the one in New Hampshire is in February. And then this one's in September. Like, I mean, they added a whole slate that covers like 7 or 8 months.
Why slow down? Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. if you can plan that far ahead.
If you've never seen Kiss, it's the greatest comedy show that you'll ever see. I mean, who, you know, the explosions and stuff are whatever. And the music's obviously not great. But Paul Stanley is the best thing on stage. That guy has some of the... He did a song one time where he was playing with his hairy chest and he's doing his little dance. And he licked the guitar pick and stuck it on his nipple. And it stayed there for an entire song in which he danced around with that pick stuck on his nipple. And at the end of the song, he points at someone in the front row and goes, boop! Flicks it right to him.
I think you're underestimating the amount of times he did it during that show. He did it certainly more than once.
And it wasn't actually stuck to his nipple because his chest is so hairy. It was like floating on a tuft.
I mean, he maintains his chest hair. It's like, I mean, you know, he doesn't really go crazy. All right, what's your name? Your name Jeff?
Yeah, I'm Jeff. Yep.
All right. You love Kiss?
I used to. I'd like to see him one last time, I guess.
You sound like someone who really wants these tickets.
No, I used to love them. I used to love them.
Now, what happened? What, did you get dumb?
No, I watched that blooper reel of Paul Stanley on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Well, then right. You're going to be great at this game.
All right, this might help. All right, I'm going to, you know, Paul Stanley's known to talk between songs. So yep. I'm going to give you a Paul Stanley quote, and you're going to have to tell me if it's real or not, okay?
Oh, boy. All right.
But I'm going to stop before the announcement of the song, and I'm going to ask Rich what he thinks the song is.
Okay.
If there is a song. All right.
Yeah.
You feel good? Well, maybe under... Well, we may be under...
Wait, give me a little background?
No, I don't need a background.
Oh, you don't need it? Okay.
Okay. You feel good? We may be under clear blue skies, but it's getting a little cold out. But that ain't going to stop us because we're going to get this place.
I got it. Oh, I shouldn't have said anything.
All right. Do you think that that's a real Paul Stanley quote?
Me? Oh, him?
Me? No, I don't.
Oh, dude.
Tomorrow we'll have the rest of this Kiss concert.
That is going to be, dude, it's going to get hotter than hell.
Hotter than hell up in here. I know we got clear blue skies. I mean, it's just play that clip.
Oh, you got a clip? Okay, good. Let's go for it.
He's got the clip.
Toronto! You feel good! All right, then, listen. You know, we may be under clear blue skies, but you know, it's getting a little cool out tonight, but that ain't gonna stop us, because if we try hard enough, we're gonna get this place! I said we're gonna get this place!
So tomorrow we'll have two pairs of tickets. And you know what? I'll give four tickets away.
He said one time, he goes, you know, when I came and had to sneak through the back.
Hang on a second. Let me make sure.
Okay. Because.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, okay, then I wouldn't say it.
No, it's not on here.
Okay, because I snuck in my gun. Now, I'm not talking about no 45. And then Peter goes, doom, 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 doom. I'm not talking about Uzi. I'm talking 9 inches of cold steel. Ladies and gentlemen, love gun. And then, of course, they kick in a love gun after that.
All right. I don't care the legalities of how we're giving this away. This goes to only the shrewd. I almost hung up on him when he wasn't a big enough Kiss fan.
Yep.
I mean, if you have Kiss tickets to give away for 11 months from now... I mean, one must treat them as gold.
I mean, you could have people in the parking lot dressed as Kiss and
Oh, you think that might happen?
Did it happen before? Chief Wademaker Jr. is going to show up in his normal costume.
Occasionally that happens. Occasionally they put on the makeup.
Rock and Roll Mike. Have him just show up.
If Rock and Roll Mike would know... Rock and Roll Mike... If Rock and Roll Mike... I'll give Rock and Roll Mike a pair of tickets just if he sings Creatures of the Night.
No, but he has to be here, right?
Sure.
No, I mean, because he could just call in.
Because if you can finagle him in here, if you can get the wet cat in the in the car,
Nick's already got eyes of fear because he knows what's going on in our heads.
Yeah,
like Nick, why don't you take Rock and Roll Mike to kiss?
Yeah, she's. I'm in Mattapan. Try not to die. All right, we will. There's lots.
I thought it was time to go to the doctor to get myself checked out. You know what I'm talking about. I go walking in, I got my appointment for 10:30. I go walking in, it's about 10:15, you understand? I go walking in and the doctor's not there yet, but I walk in, I see a nurse with the biggest I've seen in a long time.
Okay. Wow.
Dr. Love, that's got to be Dr. Love,
well,
right?
Of course, he used the word doctor.
Yeah, and then he just hands it over to Gene.
There you go, Gene. Sing this mediocre song for us.
I'll teed it up now, Gene. Knock it on the green. Brandon Mary.
Sometimes people say, why do you write songs about women taking off their clothes? I thought about it and I thought, probably because I like looking at naked women.
Wink. Wink. I love whatever women have under their pants.
He had to like hesitate. Yeah. I like looking at naked women.
You know, it's been a long time since I've had high school biology.
How many people know what I'm talking about when I go, ooh?
I'm talking about when I see a vagina, ooh.
No way.
I love the two things on the chest, boobs. That thing.
Boom! Boom, boom! Boom, 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 boom!
That feel like two Ziploc bags full of Jell-O. All right, we will be back. Brandon Merriweather joins us today.
I'm wearing my Levi's, my 501s, you know, those real tight ones.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
In the backfield for the Pats as they look for two. They've taken the lead in Philadelphia with a fourth straight score. Pick. Short motion by Edelman from the left. They head off to White. Jump cut right. Yeah. To the end zone. He's in for two.
All right.
The Patriots add to their lead.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And John Wallach has gone through surgery. He seems to be fine, so... He should be back at the beginning of next year, but in his stead, we have Joe Murray. And, Joe, you're trying to establish a top 10 ranking of quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, and this is just all based off where Tom Brady ranks this year as far as quarterbacks in the NFL. Clearly, he's having a down year, and the offense isn't as good.
But it's weird. It's like, I'm just, before you go to your list, the one thing about Tom Brady is he seems frustrated after almost every game. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think... Like, what was his most complete game in his mind? There were several games where he would struggle a lot, and then in the fourth quarter or something, they would be able to make something happen. And that's why I think points scored, the Patriots this season are third. I mean, they've scored a lot of points, but there's been games where you've just been pulling out your hair because you've seen things that are very unlike the offense that we're used to. So I have a feeling that statistically he's probably pretty good when you with all things considered. But it just doesn't feel that way, especially by the way he's acting.
Exactly. Yeah, and he just, your eyeball test, right? He just doesn't look like the same old guy. He struggles in the pocket.
He's not throwing a good long ball. There's a lot of stuff.
He's been off target. So just Lockhart might be better at this than me with being the fantasy guy, but I think Russell Wilson right now is the best quarterback in football.
I'd agree with that. I mean, that's just, yeah, I mean, he's your MVP leader, right? Him and I would think Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
So and then homeboy from Minnesota, the receiver, what's his face? The guy that was going to leave.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, I would give a vote for.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you mentioned that. I have Wilson, Jackson, Rodgers. And then I have
But Rodgers hasn't been like a world beater this year. Like he's been, I mean, he's obviously a good quarterback, but I don't think this is anywhere near his normal, like his normal numbers.
Nope. 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'm going by like yards, interceptions, touchdowns, everything, completion percentage, you name it. So I have Mahomes in there, but he missed a couple of games. Then it gets dicey. Kirk Cousins' numbers are outstanding. We look at Kirk Cousins and say, no, but like if you
team's 8-3.
And he's having a good year. I mean, say whatever you want.
And the reason he's getting the knock is because of the slow start.
Yep.
And I think people are remembering that. But, I mean, since then, he's been – and even – I mean, listen, yesterday they were down, what, 20-0 at the half to Denver, which is borderline inexcusable. But what did he do? He rattled off 3 straight touchdowns, and there you go. He's back to where he was supposed to be.
Yeah. So I think Wilson, Jackson, Mahomes are your 3 best right now. And I think it's Rodgers, Brady. And then it's Cousins, Carr, Deshaun Watson. Stafford had a good year up until he got injured.
Yeah, and he's not playing for a while.
Yeah, and then, you know, I continue to look here, and, you know, Breeze missed so much time. Dak Prescott's had a good year. He really, I know he hasn't. Again, you look at him
he's
sometimes.
He's number one in
yards, in all the NFL.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's statistically having a very good year.
But Deshaun Watson, despite yesterday's game, I think should be higher than that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's somebody that maybe not as much as these other guys, and. But, I mean, for a while, people were mentioning him as a potential MVP candidate. Yeah. And there's, by the way, Christian McCaffrey. He's another guy that's probably in the discussion.
Not much yesterday.
But still, I mean, if we go by it, Brady's probably still a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. You know, 6-7, middle. I mean, he's a top 10
A lot of that is because he's stayed healthy.
He doesn't turn the ball over, and he's got a great completion percentage.
Right.
So second in the league, or first in the league, actually.
I wonder what his yards per throw is comparatively to other guys. Yeah, you get that up after the disappointment of not being able to give away KISS tickets. I mean, everything from now on is downhill.
There's some guy tweeting me who says he's Rock and Roll Mike, but who knows?
The idea that Rock and Roll Mike has a Twitter handle is very difficult because I don't think burner phones have the internet on them, if I'm not mistaken.
So McCaffrey yesterday had 191 yards. 11 receptions, I'd say it's pretty good. Yeah, he's been great all season.
Well, he's been awesome. But yesterday, like, they were down 20-0 or whatever.
Yeah. Yesterday, I mean, he was terrible the first, or not terrible. I don't know how he played, but he wasn't effective certainly the first 3 quarters, to my knowledge. All right, Brandon Merriweather is going to join us. He of the Hennessy Wings, you're telling me?
The Henny Wings.
The Henny Wings.
I'm interested to know what these are.
I can't tell you how
many
times.
Named after his favorite quarterback.
I can't
tell. Chad Henne.
Or his favorite drink.
Well, I can't tell you how many times in Atlanta I served people Hennessy and they did not want it.
What?
They took a sip of it and did not like it. So he is on hold. We will talk to him post-haste. Brandon Merriweather joining the show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.